I know Harry told her about 4 or 5 times before service, it's so good to see you home. It's been a long time. Yeah, a lot of water under the bridge. I told someone the other day, I said, I know that I've heard that women go through the change of life. That's a lie. They go through a lot of changes. We've had a lot of changes since you've been gone, but it is so good to see you here. Home. This is home. And it's also good to see Dan Lichtenwaller back there in the back. And also Pam. Pam just got off of a 12-hour shift at 7 o'clock, and she's there. And I said, boy, she looks so good. If I look good after 12 hours, if I look that good, she looks great. Good to see Jack and Bob Heller. Quite a few faces that we haven't seen for a while. And Jerry. There she is back there. We're about to get all of our ducks lined up. Anyway, let's see. Yeah. Yay, Harry and Marie. Let's see who else. Anyway, it's good to be in God's house. And it's good to see all of you. Good to see all of you. Let you know what's going on. I know that Joanna and Charles had planned on getting off on Wednesday, and they didn't get off till Thursday. But Bill said that Kylie had gotten into her new big girl bed at her new home and just went right off to sleep. So she's already settling in her new home. And Rob and Desiree, I guess, and the girls have stopped to see Jason in Kentucky. And so they're on their trek to Georgia, actually it's Alabama, I guess. Yeah, kind of a close state line there. But anyway, they're on their way. And our house sounds like that somebody has moved out, because you can walk into rooms and hear your voice echo. And this is, it's good. I was thinking the other day, I thought, you know, maybe if I should just scatter some stuff all around, I'll feel more at home. But anyway, our nest is empty again. And anyway, we're going to miss the girls, and going to be a big void. But Donna has filled that void. And Pam has come to fill a void, and so we're glad for that. God is good. God is good. And anyway, I think that's... Am I forgetting something? No. That's all.
This is an attack to keep us distracted or get us distracted, and we don't fall for that kind of stuff, right? Praise the Lord. That was good.
Yes.
You need to enlist your brother. Make him learn to read music enough to at least turn your page. Right? Every good pianist needs somebody to turn the page. She played some difficult chords and did it well. That's not an easy song to play, in case you don't know. Anyway, once again, I agree with Bill. We need to continue to pray and not settle for God's best in the praise and worship. You do know He wants the best, right? And I'm not against anybody that feels like they want to participate. By the way, I'm sure that you know that the preparation for the praise and worship was good today. That was good. There's no reason why instrumentalists cannot play with that song. It may require a little practice, but that would be good if people wanted to begin to play with that and sing with that. It would be good for the sound man to start the song at the beginning, though. That'd be good. And not in the middle. Things like that bother me greatly. I told my wife, I said, we're off. She said, how do you know? Are you saved? How do you know? I mean, you got to know or you don't know, right? And I mean, I can't believe you can't hear that we're off, but the evidence was clear when it quit before we did, right? That's the kind of, we need an ear to hear. With music, you have to have an ear or you're just banging out stuff. You can go to, if you're going to be called to preach, you go to theological seminary, they take away the instinct and put in the stink.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Music is a natural thing given by God. It's not where you can dance. It's not, and by the way, I've seen some people be out of beat and dance. Not going to point any directions, but I've seen that. It bothers me greatly when we're out of step with what's going on. It just messes up my... I really had to work this morning saying, God, I'm going to praise you no matter what. And then we moved right on past that first song and it got easy. Amen? Now, which was wrong, the music or us? When we're out of step with God, who's wrong, God or us? Hallelujah. I'll tell you what's going to surprise us is when we get to heaven, how gorgeous the music is because it flows from the heart of God. All natural things flow from the heart of God. Nothing has to be learned. Rhythm doesn't have to be learned. It comes natural. We're going to find that out when we really get in the presence of God. Donna, it is good to have you home. We're trusting that you're about God's business of whipping Patrick into shape. He didn't like that, but that's okay. For Patrick's information, for Stan's information, everybody concerned, a woman is not a slave. She's an ad to a marriage. And a man just doesn't perform as well without what God has given him. He doesn't look as good. He doesn't smell as good. He doesn't talk as good. Come on. Praise the Lord. I didn't mean to force you back over there. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Our house is bigger than it was. And for that, I'm glad. My wife and I very much enjoyed not having anybody there. Is that okay to say? Because it's been a year and we're getting to know each other again. I told her the other day, it's amazing how much of your every waking moment is consumed when somebody else is in your house. And I'm kind of glad we just kind of sighed a big sigh of relief. She may have thought that was mourning. But that was relief. Two houses can't live together. They can reside for a season, but it's just not comfortable until it's the way it's supposed to be. They left and we left. Didn't even stay around the house. Went and bought a new bed. Nobody's ever slept in that bed but us. Now. She didn't know what was going on. She stripped the bed when they left. They were sleeping in our bed and for the last couple of weeks. Well, since Mom died. And I looked at that bed and I said, let's go shopping. So we're cleaning house. Carpet's going to be changed. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to redo this thing. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. With that in mind, let's get into the Word of God. Father, we seek You for healing, for restoration, for resurrection, for correction and direction, for wisdom and knowledge and revelation and understanding, for every good thing, because the only good thing, the only good comes from You. So we seek You. We want to be like You, which is good. We love You, Lord. At this particular moment, we do once again exalt You, lift You to the highest place. You become that one that we live and move and have our being in. By Your Spirit, teach us today. By Your Spirit, change us today so that we will never walk again the same. For this thing, we ask You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want to go back to the mind of God again today, because we need to know. We cannot exist without the mind of God. Oh, well, I shouldn't say that. We can exist. We cannot live. Mold exists. I want you to turn with me today to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. I want the Scripture to be able to convince you again today of what God's will is. Isaiah 61. We're mostly going to do God's Word today. Let's begin. This is what, when God and man get in agreement, this is what God says and this is what man says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now, I'm hurrying through this because I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to read it again. You're going to get Stan's translation. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons and the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double; everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with my garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Now I'm going to say it again. When God and man get together, man begins to talk like God, which is much higher, much deeper, much stronger, much richer, much more powerful than man does. And the hardest part of walking with other men is that they will call you names because you begin to assume positions that they don't feel like you have the right to assume. Now I'm going to say it again. When man fellowships with God, man changes and becomes more like God. I've seen men mocked when they begin to act like God. Some wise bird, not knowing the word, will say, "You're not supposed to think more highly of yourself than you ought." I agree with that, by the way. Just don't use it in the way that you're trying to use it. You're trying to tear me down with that. God tells us how we're to think about ourselves. He tells us how to think, what to think, what positions that we're supposed to take. It's one thing to bow in humility and say, Lord God of all the earth. But let's don't read the scripture that says, now I give you dominion over all the earth. Because that's not humble. And who do you think you are saying to a mountain, be removed? Who do you think you are? When something is oppressing you or depressing you, who do you think you are standing up and quoting the Word of God? Well, if that's what you're doing, you're beginning to do what God has asked you to do. Just the beginning. We need to continue. Now, I'm going to read to you slowly Stan's version. There it is. Now, once again, we love to go to prayer. But you ever notice how often we don't want anything out of prayer? We don't demand anything out of that? Here's what we do. God, I'm asking you for this. Give it to me. Instead of just saying, God, give it to me. And you understand what I'm saying? You go to God for Himself, not for things He can give you. You don't pray asking for things. You pray asking for God. Then you get the things. So a lot of our prayer time should be quiet prayer. It doesn't mean we're not using words, but it should not be war dances. The louder you pray is not the better you pray. In fact, many times it's the quieter you pray, it's the better you pray. The more at peace you are when you pray, it's the better prayer. If you go into the presence of God, the first thing you should run into is peace. The second should be joy. The third should be the Holy Ghost, not the other way around. There should be a tremendous calming effect when we really get into the presence of God. The calming be that the wars go away and the victory sets in. Now, this is what's happened. And I want you to notice in that last scripture, I should have told you this anyway. What I noticed in the scripture was, first he started telling you, I went to God and this is how I feel. And then he starts speaking to the whole nation and the whole world about what they should do. Now, understand, he's talking to himself also. But it's like now the voice of man is overridden by the voice of God in their talk. And that's the way it should be. Many times, most of the time, we begin our conversations talking about ourselves. Where we should go quickly is the direction that God is speaking and going. Because most of the time it's not ourselves. So let's look at this. The Spirit of the Lord God, the Master, is on me because God Himself has anointed and appointed me. Now, anybody that goes into the presence of God, not to ask for things, but truly goes into the throne room, gets this. I am anointed and I am appointed. You do not spend time with God and question where you're anointed or appointed. God gives worth. God gives direction. God gives surety. He doesn't give questions. He called and sent me to announce good news to those that have been bound by poverty, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to all captives, and pardon all of those being held in chains. If you're held back, it's not by God. If there's not a forward momentum in your life, a free forward momentum, it is not God, it's something else. Now, so I'm doing what I'm preaching here. I'm not just saying God's appointed me to do that. I'm telling you, that is a fact. If we're bound in any way, we need to find out where it is and listen. Say I'm free. Listen to people proclaim that you're free. Listen to God proclaim that you're free. And it's interesting to me that one of the very first things he said was poverty. Poverty is not from God. And if it is, don't try to get out of it. Get more of it. Don't work if poverty is from God. Don't work for the man. Just enjoy your poverty and seek more of it. Don't ever take any freebies from the government. Don't ever take any handouts from anybody. Just be poor. Now you're righteous. The problem is you never heard God in your entire life tell you that. Number two, verse two. God sent me to announce that this is the time and the year of His grace to those that will listen. Why is he having to say this? Because many people are not listening to God. They're listening to other things. That's where the foolishness of preaching and teaching comes from. Listen to me. That's the way a man would say it. Listen to me. It's time for celebration of God's destruction of all of our enemies. When will you see the destruction of God's enemies? When you celebrate their destruction. You never get anything until you're sure it's already happened. You never write a check until you know it's in the bank and it's cleared. At least that's wisdom. It's the same thing. When you begin to praise, it's not, I don't consider it to be a sacrifice. I consider it to be a proclamation. It is finished. It is also the time for celebration of God's destruction of all of our enemies and to comfort all that mourn because of losses. To comfort all that mourn because of losses. The Scripture is telling you that sometimes people have suffered losses. We need to comfort them, encourage them, and then begin to minister to them the Word of God, and the Spirit, and the attitude of God. Verse 3, to care about the needs of all who love God, that still mourn. How many of you have met people that love to mourn? They'd rather tell you about their problems than the goodness of God. That's why they continue to mourn. To freely give them the healing of oil of joy. To freely give them the healing oil of joy. A bouquet of roses instead of dirt and ashes. Messages of joy and good news instead of gloom and doom. Now, excuse me if I get more and more wild about this. I really don't want to hear the sad songs, number one. I don't want to hear the impending disasters, number two. I don't want to hear these things. Why don't I want to hear them? Because I keep going to God and I don't hear them. And I come to you and I do. Who do you think I'm really going to listen to? And so your voice becomes less and less. Here's the way we should be to each other. As long as we're praising God, our voice should be stronger and stronger to each other. But the minute we get to talking about disasters and impending doom and all this kind of stuff, let's just turn each other off before that voice overrides God's voice. A praising heart instead of a spirit that is heavy and worried. I am called, you are called, we are called, anointed and appointed to rename them the oaks of righteousness. Now listen to me, scrubs. God does not call you scrubs. He calls you oaks of righteousness. So I have no other responsibility in my life but to tell you, you are oaks of righteousness. And let him sort out the difference between reality and whatever. I am called to tell you that your calling in life is to be oaks of righteousness. Oaks don't move. How many of you ever run into an oak tree? See, I've done that with my head a couple of times and other things. And they don't move. They don't move. They are planted by God to display His glory. What's the mind of God in every part of your life and mine? You are oaks of righteousness planted to bring Him glory. I really don't care what your opinion is. This is what God says. You will rebuild the old ruins. Raise a new habitation of God out of the wreckage and debris. How many of you ever felt like your life was wreckage and debris? Well, okay, so it is. There is no junkyard for Christians. There's no scrap heap and there's no crush pin. You want a new habitation of God out of the wreckage and debris. They will start over on the ruined cities, take the rubble left behind, and make it new. They will repair what it took generations to destroy. You will repair what it took generations to destroy. See, in my life, I'm sure everybody, every generation feels the same, but I feel like that since the 60s, there's been two generations that have fought diligently to destroy, to take God out of the school, to take discipline out of the home, to take any kind of standard at all out of our law, legal system and out of our moral system. Now, God says, I've called you to restore that quickly. It took generations, don't get discouraged. It took generations to destroy that, but it doesn't take generations to rebuild. See, God's got these ways. They work well. Verse 5. This is cool. You will safely hire outsiders to herd your flocks, tend your fields, serve you in all fields of your endeavor. Those that have been against you shall now work for you. Now, this is the mind of God about you guys. Anybody that's asleep, give them a frog. You know what a frog is, don't you? I can show you. Anybody want one, I can show you. You seen that car advertisement? The guy sitting in the car and says to the salesman, what's the turning radius? And he said, let me show you. In the showroom, turn around. He said, now would you like to see the airbags? That's a frog. You want to see them? You have been given a command, the wish and the will of God. God wants to turn this thing around. He doesn't want you working for the world. He wants the world working for you. Well, I don't see how that can... Well, see, it doesn't make any difference what you see. It makes what difference what God sees. That's all that counts. God's ways are bigger, they're higher, they're further, they're wider, they're greater than ours. So don't judge what can happen by what you can make happen. Verse 6. You now shall have the title of priests of God, honored as ministers sent by God. Now listen to this. You shall feast on the bounty of all nations, and you will bask in His glory. You ever see anybody bask in glory? You ever see anybody bask in the sun? They just lay back and relax and just get good and warm. You shall feast on the bounty of all nations, and you will bask in His glory. That word in the Scripture actually has a little connotation of... I don't want to use the word strut because you may think I'm a little goofy, but it's kind of walk proudly. You'll know it's Him. You'll know He did it, but it feels good. Verse 7. Because you got a double dose of trouble and more than your share of contempt, your possessions and inheritance will be doubled and your joy will go on forever. Amen. Unless your doses have overtaken you. How do you keep your doses of trouble from overtaking you? You keep the mind of God in the situation, and that overtakes you more. Choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses, just too simple. Verse 8, because I, God, love righteousness and fair dealing and hate crime and sin, I, God, hate sin, I will pay your wages on time and in more than full. I will establish and keep my covenant with you. I will keep you better than you could have ever dreamed or planned. What's God saying there? The first part of this. God is saying that when you're cheated, He hates it. When a crime or wrongdoing is committed against you, He hates it. But He's also saying, if you take up the hate, I can't bless you. If you'll just stand firm that I am for you, I'll double your pay, and I'll pay you on time. Anybody want to work for God? Amen. I hear His checks don't bounce. I hear they don't bounce, and you'll never get a return phone call saying the check's in the mail. You won't get a note from the bank saying it has to stay in there for 10 days before we can cash it. Because He calls that crime and sin. What is done against His people is crime and sin. Now, that's for those that don't commit crime and sin. Okay? They live righteous before their God. What is living righteous before God? I'll tell you something my mom taught me from little bitty boy. She didn't use these words, but this is what was added to. It's from the original teaching. That is this. If whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying, however you're thinking, can't be done right before God on Judgment Day, you better stop it. You better change it. Or you're not living righteous before God, and it is probably sin. So if you want double pay, fast checks, all those things, live righteous before God. Verse 9, your descendants will become well known all over. Your descendants will become well known all over. Now, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about actual children? Yeah. But is that the only thing? No. Not at all. Your children will, around the world, be recognized as the people that I have blessed. well, what in the world are you smarting off for? I heard you say you don't know my children. What are you talking back to God for? Maybe you don't know your children. I'll say that one more time. Maybe you don't know your children. Maybe you don't know what their relationship with God really is. And maybe the outcome is not totally revealed. Your children will around the world be recognized as the people that I have blessed. Verse 10. I will sing and shout for joy in God, except when there's a problem. The reason we have so many problems is we don't sing and shout in God. Now, singing and shouting in God is not in your face. See, because I don't care if you ever see me dance. If you ever did, it'd probably turn you off from dancing and praise. I'm not your example of dancing and shouting. I want to be the example standing in God, dancing and shouting. I have no problem having joy in the morning and joy in the evening. I'm not going to have a problem of being discouraged and downtrodden because I know what God is thinking and whatever He's thinking, He's doing. If something doesn't feel right or doesn't seem right, then what should I do? I will sing and shout for joy in God. What about when I feel down? Explode in praise from deep in your being. You know how hard it is to talk to somebody that's screaming and yelling in your face? Well, that's how hard the devil has speaking to you when you're shouting with praise, when you're exploding in praise. He goes, this guy's crazy. God says, well, he's least peculiar. Doesn't he know what's wrong with him? Yeah, he knows what's wrong with him. I will sing and shout for joy in God, explode in praise from deep in my being. This is why. He has dressed me with the garments of salvation. I can look out and I can, in any situation, I can look at the situation and say, look at me. I'm hot. I'm dressed in salvation. You know what dressed in salvation means? That's I'm totally clothed with whatever it takes to set me free. Amen. To pull me out of danger and put me into success. Amen. Well, how do I know that? Because God has dressed me. What does it look like? Well, it looks terrible to the enemy. I know that. What it looks like to anybody else, I really don't care. He has dressed me with the garments of salvation. He covered me in a robe of His righteousness. Well, you don't look too righteous to me. You better go to God, the optician. Get your eyes adjusted. Or you can argue with Him directly. It's up to you. But I don't intend to argue with you. He has dressed me with the garments of salvation. He covered me with a robe of His righteousness. As a bridegroom who puts on a tuxedo. And a bride with a beautiful gown and a jeweled tiara. Now, what did I just say? For y'all that are just kind of getting numb. What did I just say? I not only told you that God dressed you with salvation, covered you with His righteousness, but He also adorned you. You look better than a groom in a tuxedo. You look better than a bride that has that beautiful gown with jewels all over. Who says this? Well, that guy writing that's probably homo. Well, you better watch how you talk about God because He wrote that. That's what He thinks you look like. That's what He thinks you look like. That's what He thinks you look like. That's exactly right. And what right do I have, even if it's about me, to see me any different than that? I am one gorgeous hunk. And if you don't think that, then you need to get to talking to God. Tell my wife that all the time. No, I really don't. But I'd be all right if I did. She believes that too, don't you? Okay. I saw a little joke the other day. It said, what's the difference between a model and a pregnant woman? The answer was, nothing if he knows what's good for him. Do I need to say that again? I will sing and shout for joy in God. Verse 10, if you're checking me out. There are no exclusions. Not if your daughter and two granddaughters are leaving. Not if your daughter and your one granddaughter is leaving. Not if dad dies, not if mom dies, not if the kids die, not if the world dies. There's nothing in your life that ever supersedes this. I will sing and shout for joy in God. Explode in praise from deep in my being. Why deep in my being? Because out of the heart, the mouth will speak. Out of the heart of a man, the mouth will speak. Now, if I know who God is, I can never talk bad about Him. If I know that He orders my steps, I can never talk bad about my steps. Did I go too far? Felt like some of you walked out and left. My steps are ordered. What if I can't walk? My steps are ordered. What if I can't talk? My steps are ordered. What if everything I touch turns to doo-doo? My steps are ordered. What part of this don't you understand? I don't care if my perception is off. Listen to me. I don't care if my perception is off. You ever notice you say that to yourself? Everything I touch turns to dung? You say that to you. You don't have people running around telling you that. So I say to myself, you are wrong. Your perception is off. And out of the abundance of my innermost man, the deep part of me, I say my steps are ordered by God. I'm on the right path. Somebody comes along and says, I don't see it. Well, they're blind, not you. They're blind, not you. You say what God says. Don't listen to what man says. Anybody ever run into a real smart man? I haven't. I've never run into a real smart man. But I can tell you every time I bump God, I run into smart. So where should my faith lie? And smart men? Come on. Everyone here thinks you're smarter than somebody else. But my faith shouldn't lie there. My faith should lie in God. The one that dressed me. The one that clothes me. The one that inspires me. And sometimes the one that gives me a boot and says, listen to me. You're not saying what I'm saying, which means you're a liar. Do you understand? Let me be point blank. That if you don't say what God says, you are a liar. Because God's always the truth. Let every man be a liar. That includes me. And let God be true. Come on, y'all are not getting... I'm telling you how God's thinking about you here, and you ought to be getting excited. Verse 11. For as the earth bursts forth with spring flowers, and as a garden comes alive with blooms, so the Lord God brings righteousness into full bloom. Who's going to bring righteousness into full bloom? Oh, I thought it was obeying the law. I thought it was doing everything right and righteous. Now what? It says God brings righteousness into full bloom. What does that mean? You plant a garden, it doesn't come, you put the seed in, it doesn't come into full bloom. You begin to put pressure on that garden. Why? Because it's supposed to do what it's supposed to do. That's what God does. It's not up to us to try to learn and study how to be perfect. It's up to us to react to the pressures of God on our life. Not other people's pressures, God's pressures. Society has a lot of advice, if you'll listen. Don't. Just as the earth bursts forth with spring flowers and as a garden comes alive with blooms, so the Lord God brings righteousness into full bloom and puts His praise on display before all the nations. Puts His praise on display before the nations. You want to be before nations? Learn to praise. Don't praise another person. It's all right to give a compliment, but don't praise another person. Praise God in what He's doing in that person. Praise God about what He's doing for that person. But please don't make the mistake of praising the person. We just read that God brings forth the blooms of righteousness. And I'm thankful when people become righteous in the sight of God. But I'm more thankful that God is applying that kind of pressure. Oh, okay. So the thing you're going through right now is not pressure from God? Is that what you really think? That's the easy way out. That's the chicken way out. To say the thing that I'm feeling, the thing that I'm going through right now is not of God, but it's because of so-and-so did so-and-so, or because of this thing in my past, or because... Hey, listen, you letting your past rule? Because if you let your past rule, go to the grave now and get out of the world's way. Just go on. Die and get it over with, because that's where you're headed. Your past should not rule any in your life at all. God means it when he says that I'm new and fresh every morning. Amen. We spend our time saying, God, I know I did this and I know I did that. And he says, shut up. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember that. But here's what I tell you, that if you these things that you keep, you think I'm a priest, you can pay me off, you can confess to me on a daily basis. I'm not a fool. God would say that I'm not a fool. You know what we pay for? Listen, people, you know what we pay for? We pay for sexual sins. That's all you pay for. Now, what are you saying, Stan? What are you saying, you weird outfit? I'm saying that to have any other God before him is a sexual sin.
Yes, right.
It's adultery. Right. And the body says, God says about the body, you will pay for that in your own body. You hearing me? You will pay for it in your own body. The Bible says, for you wondering what I'm talking about, it says that sexual sin is an attack on your own body. Your own body. That's against the generations that have just passed that preach that your body's yours, you can do anything you want to with it. Yes, you can. You do anything you want to. But please don't complain with STDs and AIDS and all other illnesses that are coming about. Don't complain. Just live with it. When I was a young man, VD was a minor thing, and it could be easily treated. And you were nearly an outcast if you ever even came close. Now, the general population is loaded with STDs that cannot be cured.
Right.
And they will have it all the days of their life.
Right.
Why? Because they didn't heed the Word of God. A sexual sin is a sin against your own body. Listen to this. As your own display before the nations. God's people will no longer be ashamed. What has put God's people to shame? What has put God's people to shame? Now, see, he said the world, and I totally disagree with that. We put ourselves to shame. If I came in this morning with flowers all over a shirt and flowers all over my shorts and white socks and a pair of sandals, a cap on crooked and goofy-looking sunglasses, a little loogie hanging out over here and food over here, who is putting me to shame? Me. My choices. My lack of wisdom. The world doesn't have to say anything. Now, they may laugh. I deserve it. I need to learn to fit into this society where I live and move and have my being better. What else can put you to shame? You know what the biggest shame that Christians have, and they allow it to be put on themselves, is when they're trying to believe God and it's not yet manifest. That's when we receive shame. And it's not the world, because the world doesn't even understand what we're believing for. It's usually the body. It's usually somebody coming along and saying, why do you keep doing that? I don't see any prosperity in it. Whose wife was it says? Job's wife said, why don't you just die? I mean, his own wife was against his stand of faith, which was a pea-poor stand, but at least it was a stand. It says, my people will no longer be ashamed. You know why? This is a prophecy from God. Because I promised you the check would be on time. We just read that. Because I told you, because of the stuff you've been going through, I'm fed up. The check's going to be on time. Now, these are the people that stand and don't fail, don't give up. They'll no longer be ashamed, but proud to proclaim the only true God. We just had the most ridiculous thing in the whole world happen, where five supposedly followers of Allah sawed a man's head off and said during the process, praise God, praise Allah, praise Allah. Now, those idiots need to be ashamed. God needs to be ashamed of those idiots, the followers of a not true God. We need to say that's not of God. We need to say, as it says in Isaiah 61, you are in for deep now trouble. Because that's what God says. You don't know God? If he was driving a Rolls Royce and ran over you and backed up and ran over you again, you wouldn't recognize him. Come on.
Right.
When are we going to start being as bold as idiots that saw people's heads off? And I hope this tape makes it to one of those idiots. I'll give you my address. You want to know where I'm at. I'm not ashamed and I'm not fearful. I'm reading something here. God's on my side. You've gone through double and triple trouble, but I'm fixing to pay you. How can he pay you now? One of the reasons he says he pays, or the way he's going to pay, is he causes those, your enemies, to work for you. Isn't that what that said? He announces the attack that he's going to have on your enemies. How many enemies does God have? None. Your Bible tells you they've already been defeated. Do you know that? So it's our enemies. And he takes that personal. He once again says, I'll tell you what I did, just as I took your sins, I'll take your enemies. And I'll whoop your sins. I'll whoop your enemies. That's a good Texas word, whoop. I like it. God's people will no longer be ashamed, but proud to proclaim the only true God. He will announce his people, and his works will proclaim his bride. Y'all didn't get that because it wasn't in your King James. It is in there too. He will announce his people. Do you know what that means? We watched a little movie called A Count of Monte Cristo last night. Good movie. Good guys win. It's always a good movie when the good guys win. It's not a good movie when they fall in love. It's a good movie when the good guys win. Falling in love is good guys, but we've got to have a fight here somewhere. In part of that movie, there was this big fanfare, huge fanfare. This guy, the Count, bought a huge estate. And he invited all the important people. How many of you have seen that movie? Oh, you need to see it. It's cool. After 13 years of being imprisoned, falsely imprisoned, a righteous man falsely imprisoned for, he was either 11 or 13 years, in the worst of conditions, he miraculously finds a way out, has a map, finds tremendous treasure, buys this huge estate. Now, all this was done for revenge, but the end of the movie was that revenge is not worth it. He swears to God that he'll use his riches for God, for good. They were a little careful there. But the announcement, he bought this huge estate, elevated area. Fireworks go off. His man, Friday, announces the Count of Monte Cristo. A big balloon comes down, an air balloon, and he's riding in it. And servants come up and open the door of the gondola on that balloon. And he walks out and just looks. I am the Count of Monte Cristo. Now that's being announced. Amen. I can picture, now everybody wants to meet him, by the way. Did you know that? Now all of these hobnobbers that don't want to meet anybody, they want to meet this guy because of the announcement. That's the picture that I get here when it says, God will announce his people. Amen. Nobody has to guess who this is. He says, this is my servant in whom I'm well pleased. This oak of righteousness is a servant who I'm well pleased. That's the way God does it. And we're going to have to learn that it's all right to come out and say, that's me. If God said it, that's me. That's who I am. We walk in some proud. What do you mean by that? That goes against his door. Oh, no. God is proud of us. And we need to walk in that. You know what I'm proud of? I'm proud that he's my Father. That's number one. I'm proud that Jesus is my Savior. Number two. I'm proud that he has called me to announce this thing to you. And then I'm proud that he's called me to tell you the same thing about you. Well, you're just a proud man. Mm-hmm. You got it. One of the feelings that I felt during Joanna's wedding was when my daughter and my granddaughter walked down. You know how proud I am? I will not be humble in this. Those were kids, man. You hear me?
Yeah.
My granddaughter coming down there looking like an angel, going, you know what she's saying? I know you're glad to see me. Look at me. I'm dressed. I'm carrying flowers. Don't you wish you could? Did you know that was innocent? It was innocent in her heart. And yet if we see that in an adult's heart, we go, oh, you proud thing. Well, maybe you don't know what's really innocent. Maybe you don't know who I'm proud in.
Yes.
He will announce His people and His works will proclaim His bride. Are you hearing me? I don't know exactly why, but when we bought our house, it was all in my name. She never got her name on it. So we took care of that the other day, the way God would take care of it. Let's make this formal. I'm announcing to you that she is as much an owner as I am. And I'm not ashamed of that. That's the way God speaks about us. His works will proclaim His bride. You know, God does not walk in before us and ignore us. He does not walk in and begin talking and saying, wife, get over and take care of this and get over and take care of that while people get to see me and get to talk to me in my wisdom.
Right.
Something goes bad over here. He doesn't keep on with his normal, you know who I am conversation and say, go take care of that, bride. He doesn't do that because His interest is where we are. He'll stop talking to you if I get in trouble. Oh, God talks all. No. You better listen to me. He will turn a focus on those that are in need. Will that mean some of us are left out? No. He's better than that. But I promise you, I've had Him talk to me loud and individually in a group of people when I know they didn't hear. Why? Because I needed Him the most. Come on, just because I say it a little bit different, it don't mean you have to get upside down. I know that God is no respecter of persons. That's true, but that's not true. He's a respecter of those that are in deep trouble. He doesn't exalt them. He helps them. He never exalts trouble. Somebody says, how are you? Don't tell them about your frailties and your ailments. Exalt God and watch Him exalt you. I hate to say it because nobody really cares about those things anyway. They may act like it, but they don't really care. His works will proclaim His bride. Here's the only failure in this. If I'm not in His works, if I'm not in His mind, not Him thinking about me thinking about Him, sharing His thought, asking for what He thinks. If I'm not there, He can't proclaim me. If I'm over here in the feel sorry for me seat, and He's over here in the let's party seat, you're going to get left behind. Because God is saying, He doesn't say, I want a party. He says, I want a party with you. Well, I have nothing to wear. But can you see God getting mad about that? With what I just dressed you with what I just bought for you, you're going to tell me you have nothing to wear? Get up off that flat spot or I'll leave you right there. Because by the way, I got plenty that want to party with me. Oh, God wouldn't talk to me that way. He will if you get to be a real drag. He will. If you get to be boring and inside, you know what I mean? It's just everything's about you. He'll just leave you sitting there. He'll let you watch the party, and then hopefully you'll get hungry and seek with all your might. Somebody told me the other day, miracle! My sister's coming. Hey, the best way to get somebody to come is you move on. Don't wait with them. Don't mourn with them. If they're mourning, you say, come on, let's go. Yeah, I know that hurts. You know, and I'm sorry that you're going through that pain, but right over there is healing. Let's go.
Amen.
I'm going to give you one more chance here. And then I'm going on. Oh, you want to teach your kids? That's the way you do it. It's the way God does it. Mackenzie, the other day in her turmoil, not wanting to leave, but wanting to be with Daddy, you know, I thought I'd use a little reverse psychology. I love reverse psychology. I love it. It really works well. And she was kind of, she just that you can already see that the pressure's on her. And she's kind of telling Dad to get back over there, but not really. And I said, you know, that old daddy of yours is no good, right? He's no good. And she said, right. And I said, well, when they go to Georgia, you better stay here with us. You better not go with him. He's no fun. You know, uh-huh. And then all of a sudden, she's making up with her daddy. Come on, it's reality. That's how we get. We get kind of goofy once in a while. We get caught up in our own feelings, and we forget what's real. Isn't it amazing that there's something in a little girl and a little boy that's attached to mom and dad, and there's nothing you can do to break it? Oh, maybe it's mimicking our relationship with God. That heartfelt thing in there that nobody can interfere with. We know in the deep down, that God is for us and not against us, no matter what we say. Now, if we say it enough, we can believe a lie. The Bible gives you permission to do that. But you will never, ever, ever give up on God, because He never, ever gives up on you. That's what He's put in us. It's called that measure of faith. Knowing that there's somebody larger than us that cares about us. There's also something else there you can watch with kiddos. There's a safety in that goofy old immature dad. And you're sitting there a little more mature and you're going, you know how dangerous that is to trust him? And yet you cannot. You do not want to destroy that safety and that faith. You want to build on it. How much more with God? When you since you've been called and anointed and appointed, you need to know whether you're ministering to yourself or someone else. There's already an inherent feeling of God. Don't try to convince people there's a God. They already know. Well, they say they don't. When are you going to be smart enough to quit listening to people? Well, now listen. Let me tell you a position in case you forgot that already again. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, sent me to heal, to proclaim liberty and open prison doors. Amen. All right. Guy's in prison. I'm here to help. What can you do? The guy says, open the doors. Now, he's a dummy, not you. You already went there to do that. Come on. Maybe all he needs to do is push the door. Maybe that's all you need to do. Maybe it's all he needs to do. To proclaim that this is the time. All right, I'll read it to you biblically. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. What does that mean? That means I'm telling you now is the time for you to succeed and your enemies to fail. Not your choice. Please, all I've ever heard preaching is that that's your choice. Now believe. It is not your choice. That's what God has said. He's not changing His mind if you disagree. What He's saying is, now if you'll listen to me and agree, now will be the time for you. It's the time for everybody else to believe. Do you want it to be the time for you? God is on my side. Well, what about when Donna was high-centered over there on the other side of the border? Anybody want to explain that? Don't try. Just say, my steps are ordered. My steps are ordered. Maybe there needs to be some good seed over there on that Canadian side. And this is the only one that can take it over there. Well, Patrick says, well, I didn't agree. Well, you didn't. You never agreed to go God's way? Okay. You know what he just said? I'm glad she was over there. See, that's hard for humans to say unless we practice it. We've got to practice it. We've got to learn to say, you know what? I agree with the mind of God. I agree with the will of God. No matter what I see, I agree with God. So why do you want to do that? Because it says the pay's double. It says that people will work for you. Anybody would like to have somebody work for them? Well, when they start, we'll ask you again. But anyway, that's another assignment. Because now you have to become the minister to those that work for you. Right. All right. I hope that some of the things that I've said today have helped you, encouraged you. I didn't do it for that reason. I did it to heal you. I'm not your nursemaid. I don't intend to change your diaper. I will tell you, quit messing your diaper. That's pretty effective. But the rest of the time, I'm going to be, that's your problem. Praise God. Anybody got any problems? They're your problems. You know how to remedy your problems? God. Wow, that's so simple. No, it isn't either. That's hard work. It's hard work. Most of you need a real good dose of what God thinks about you. And that's why I keep going over and over and over this. I need a good dose of it. You need a good dose of it. God walked up to a normal man like you and I and said, and the man's mouth said, I am anointed and appointed. Amen. Why? Because he got into God's mind. And he got up. Read the chapter before. He got up from a bad situation. And he said, I am here to eliminate those situations. And when I walk and when I talk, it's going to be healed and saved and delivered. Prison doors are going to be opened. People are healed. Their minds are going to be changed and enlightened. Can you do that? Moreover, will you do that for God? Well, you don't know the troubles I've seen. Well, sing a song and sing it to yourself. I don't want to know about the troubles you've seen. I want to tell you about what God is telling about you. You know how you... Come on. Most of you in here are old enough to join with me in this. You know how easy it is to fall back and wallow? Ever seen an old pig? He finds a mud hole, and he just falls down, lays over, and he goes, oh, it feels so good. What a fool. Don't be a pig. Don't be a pig. You ought to see that mess that gets on him while he does that. All the flies and the stink. Y'all stand with me. You now shall have the title priests of God. That's three people that have accepted that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You shall now have the title of oaks of righteousness.
Yeah.
You shall now have the title of boss.
Yeah.
They'll work for you. You'll have the title of overcomer because your enemies have just been defeated.
Amen.
Come on. You'll have the title of classy dresser. You'll look like salvation and righteousness. Come on, don't y'all believe that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just read it to you. It was God's idea, wasn't mine. You'll have the oil of joy instead of mourning and wailing and worrying.
Amen.
You'll carry flowers instead of dust and ashes. Yeah. I smell like dust and ashes. I smell flowers. I'd rather smell like flowers.
Yeah.
You'll have a praising heart instead of a complaining heart.
Amen.
Come on. The enemy cannot touch you because you irritate him so bad with your praises. Can't keep you awake at night because every time you wake up at night, you go to praising God. And he says, if that's the way it's going to be, I'm going to leave him alone.
Amen.
Come on. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Every time I start to worry, I recognize the worry and I say, nope. Thank you, God, that my steps are ordered. You put it on your cell phone, right? Boom, my steps are ordered.
Amen.
Write it on the wall. It says, without a vision, the people perish. Well, write it on the wall. There's your vision. My steps are ordered. All my crew walks off. All my friends leave. All whatever happens. Hey, there's my vision. My steps are ordered. Can I tell you something? It's very possible that in our walk, that sometimes God has to walk us out of something so He can get us into something. So when the heart hurts, remember I told you about the mourning? When the heart hurts, accept some good advice. Your steps are ordered. You're on the right path. You're on the right way. But you don't know how much it hurts. Is that your song? Is that your song? You don't know the troubles I've seen. Woo. Well, get some face black and sing it loud. Otherwise, get up. Don't be a part of that opera anymore. Be a part of God's ensemble. Amen? All righty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you for revealing yourself in your word this morning. And God, you can use me and you can use these people in your approach to understand your mind in all the different ways. And as much as you want to repeat it, we need it. Convince us, Lord. We want to be convinced. We've had mounds and mounds and generations of false teaching. Now we need you. We do want to be the oaks of righteousness. We do want to be those people that are introduced by you, that your works show us off according to your word, not according to our wishes. We want that because your word and your will says so. We agree with you for the weak thinking and the little thinking and the simple thinking. We cast that to one side now and receive your mind. We are who you say we are. And we proclaim that about ourselves and about each other. We are healthy, we are wealthy, and we are wise. Not because we want to be, but because you want us to be, and we agree with you. Your way is higher than our way. Praise you, Lord. As we just mentioned in the Scripture about the garden blooming, bloom in us, Lord. This seed that we've planted over and over, week seem like week after week. Bring forth that bloom and that harvest. And let, as your Scripture says, it be for your glory. Let it be for your glory. And for that we thank you, we exalt you, we praise you right now that it's finished and done in our lives. We'll have no failure, we'll have no physical problems, we won't have no worries. We will have your steps ordered in our life. The wealth will follow, the exaltation will follow, the glory will follow, the praise will follow, and we'll have it no other way because your word says so. Because you're proud of us and you want the best for and of us. We love you, Lord. With all of our hearts, with all of our minds, soul, with every part of our being, we trust you. Let it be a goal of our life this next week to once again become in alignment with your thought processes. We do that in Jesus' name. We do it to exalt you, Father. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
All righty. Well, yeah. A little acorn what?
Didn't give up his ground.
Amen. And a little nutty in the process too, right?
Like a seed.
That's right.
If you want to become a tree of righteousness.
Takes a while. Amen. Yes, sir.
I like testimony.
All right. We might have a couple of testimonies. You almost sit down for a minute. Don't mean to be rude, but they overcome by the word of the testimony, right?
That's right. I just want you to know that God's Word is true. I found out yesterday that even though I can't rent an apartment, God is providing a home for me, my own home, my own area. And He has made it possible for me to get an existing home up to $180,000. Or a brand new home, up to $220,000, something I could never afford on my current budget. But God has made the way, and He will make the payment so I can afford it. And He will bless me in that home. And He has already set it up. And I praise Him and give Him glory for what He's doing in my life this day.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I remind you that Rob and Desiree never even thought about buying a house until I said, you know, why you guys want you to buy a house? You know, how much is your allowance? Boom. Oh, my goodness. They're paying you to buy a house and you're wasting the money. Buy the house. Now, my son, they're buying a house? Well, Dad, why can't I do this? Well, you can. Now, go on out there and do it. Now, that's what a testimony is for. It's to cause others to do a righteous thing. Amen? So let me see. You want me to make it short or you to say it? Your version. What you've told me. He has a praise report. His wife, by the instruction of a lawyer, not to cut his wife down, but took away the visitation rights, or refused the court order visitation rights to him. And he didn't lash back. I know he wanted to, but he didn't. He went and found an attorney to represent him. And long story short, what we read in the Scripture happened. The right way was exalted. The wrong way was revealed. She did not prevail. And the hardest part was to stand still. Right? And even in that, he was able to say, my wife is a good mother. She tries hard and sometimes too hard. And the judge says, that was a good statement. You haven't proven anything to me, so you still have the rights. You hearing me? God's on our side. If we will just be steady and know that God is God, know that He's ordering our steps, and that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Amen? Anyone else? Quickly.
Okay.
Okay. That would be God. And I hope that Renee has realized that she can't make that happen, because that would be wisdom. And I hope that Sunshine has recognized that she can't make her mama do what she wants her to do, which that would also be wisdom. Now God can operate. Amen. He can restore those things that the canker worm got a big bite of. Amen. And He will. Anyone else? Oh. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, I want to just give a testimony that I'm trying to find the right words.
Don't say Donna
back, because we know that. Yeah. Well, the scripture that's been going through a lot in our lives during the separation was a threefold cord is not easily broken. And there is a threefold cord. It's me, Donna, and God.
And us.
All of us, however you want to look at it. But we were never separated. You know, we were just never separated. And now that we're together again, if that makes any sense, you know, we're more powerful than we were before.
Amen.
And God's getting ready to bless us. Well, He's always has blessed us. I won't even make that past tense or future or whatever. But another testimony is that God gave a little sign that when I was driving to the airport, I decided I'm going to meet Donna in the baggage department. All the short-term and long-term parking lots were filled, according to the signs anyway, so I turned into the shuttle parking. And when I drove up there, the guy said, well, drive to row V for Victor. I thought, well, cool. He's already calling me a Victor.
Amen. Come on, amen. Oh, you could have said, oh, that's just too far away. It's our choice, isn't it? Life or death, blessings or curses. Amen. I was supposed to say something else and it went away. Anyway, I want us to praise God. I want us to praise God in a bit different way than we've been doing. And I don't mean do away with our songs. That's not what I'm saying. I want to hear more and more praise, either in believing or in the manifestation. We need to be bold enough. If God has offered to pay the check, we need to go ahead and do some more obligations. Right? All right. So that we can give Him more praise. Oh, by the way, Patrick, if you were always together, why did you not want any of us to meet her out there so you could whisk her home real fast? Oh, okay. There's T-O gather and then there's T-O-E gather. Think about that. It's when your toes are together. You know what I mean? No.
You know, as we were approaching the time for Desiree and Rob and the girls to leave, and the hours were getting counting down, and just the Lord dropped the scripture and actually reminded me of the teaching that He's been sharing with us about, I know the plans that I have for you. And God was sharing with me and saying, you know what, this is the plan of God for them to go on.
Yes.
This is God's plan. So that helped me to say, okay, this is God's plan. I want to go along with God's plan.
And you had to say that often.
And I had to say that often. I had to remind myself, this is God's plan. And so I was just encouraged by that. Anyway.
And one other thing happened. I'm going to do this for her. Was it yesterday or the day before? Whichever. Jason's all excited about her coming. I mean, he's driving us crazy. Where are those people? They're not even at Paducah. You know? Okay. Where's Paducah? But so she's talking to them, and Jason says, here, Clayton wants to talk to you. This kid is a motor mouth. And she'd say, hi, Clayton. Just going on. I don't even know what he's saying. But he went on. He'd go for 10 minutes. And we're over there just dying laughing. God's given us joy about this. And she'd say, well, How is Clayton? Blah, 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 blah. I mean, Cody. Just go on and on and on. And he's got one of these voices. Blah, 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 blah. You know, he doesn't talk like a baby. He just growls. And so we laugh for, I don't know, 15 minutes because he's just a, you know. And so I said, you know what? It's time to fly there. You know what I'm saying? God is turning the interest. We got more than one, our two, our three family members, our four. And don't go to counting because you'll have a lot of joy, a lot of praise. We got a lot of family members, all of us. We can take joy that God's steps, I mean, God's steps are our steps. That's the way we ought to say it. God's steps are our steps. Did you have?
I got a quickie. There's a little boy about 3 or 4 years old that was praying, and he says, "Our Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed is his name."
Whatever it takes. If you ask Mackenzie to pray, she'll say, "Thank you for the water." Always the first thing. "Thank you for the water." And we never correct her. I don't care what she's thanking God for. It's better than most of us do. Amen. Then she'll go on to thank you for this and thank you for that and thank you for the food in Jesus' name, amen. And I'm happy. I got to thinking the other day when I'm, hurry up, water's a good thing to thank for. I'm telling you, if we'd all just concentrate on the things we have to thank Him for, those other things wouldn't be on our mind so much. All right, anyone else that's getting... I'm not stretching. They overcame. All right. Remember Isaiah 61 this week. Amen. Read it a couple of times and see what God has to say about you. And see if you can't assimilate. I'm going to get into that one day, that Borg. Y'all remember the Borg? Remember the Borg? You need to get back in some old Star Trek thing where they've got the Borg. The Borg is the name of everybody that's been assimilated. And this thing happens... And they, not that they don't lose their mind, they get everybody's mind. And so they all think one thing. If it's hurt, one hurts, all hurt. And it's very, very much scriptural. It's just not called the Borg. By the way, they're kind of bad, and we don't want to go there, but, huh? Collective, okay. All righty. Y'all be dismissed. Don't forget we need to put our stuff in the room so we don't have to haul it home.